Well, Kogsameyok, everybody. We're here celebrating the second of the two special Shabbats that bracket the Week of Unleavened Bread. We're in the midst of that. We could also, since we're here at a special Shabbat, we could say Shabbat Shalom as well. In any case, it's good to see all of you that made it out to this evening's event. The seventh and final day of the Week of Unleavened Bread will begin with sundown, and we should be just about up on that right now. So our purpose here is to acknowledge some of the various things that Adonai has put in place during this week of matzah, this week of unleavened bread. There are a number of things that go on that the most of the world just doesn't have any idea about. Even I think a significant number of the body of Messiah really have no clue at all about. And these things that are in the week of matzah will do wonders once we learn them for increasing our understanding of Adonai's plan of restoration of his creation. Now, as we looked at yesterday on the regular seventh day Shabbat, this week of matzah, as I said a couple of times, has a lot going on for it. Hopefully, what we looked at yesterday and the new material that we'll look at this evening will give us really the focus that we need to pay attention to more than just the currently popular events, such as our Seder last Monday, which served to start the first of the special Sabbaths that bracket the week of matzah, but most of what we looked at yesterday focused on the meaning one can extract from the matzah itself. We're not going to spend much time with the matzah itself as a centerpiece this evening because, for anyone that hasn't heard that message that we did over the matzah, it's available online under the title, Matzah is Delicious. First of what we want to look at this evening is often referred to as the first fruits of the harvest to come. Centers around Passover itself and the special Sabbath that sets the week of matzah into motion. That being the case, let's begin with the initial schedule that Adonai sets in place for this time period. It's in Leviticus 23, beginning in verse 5. It says, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, between sundown and complete darkness, comes Pesach, Passover, for Adonai. On the 15th day of the same month is a festival of matzah. For 7 days you are to eat matzah. On the first day you are to have a holy convocation. Don't do any kind of ordinary work. Bring an offering made by fire to Adonai for 7 days. On the seventh day is a holy convocation. Do not do any kind of ordinary work. And we're here this evening honoring Adonai's commandment having to do with this second set-aside convocation that's set aside to himself, and it closes out the week of matzah. Tomorrow evening at sundown, the week of matzah is over. Back at the beginning of this at Pesach, there was already in place things going on during the time of Yeshua's first ministry. While he was on the execution stake at the end of his first ministry, there were things going on simultaneously. Things that were taking place that will help us, I think, garner more understanding. Things that were being done parallel to him being on the execution stake that should help us to understand what the bigger picture of Yeshua on the execution stake was really all about from the perspective of Adonai Elohim. Restoration process and also concerning his creation. We want to look at all three things from the perspective of Adonai's Elohim's restoration process and concerning his creation. This parallel thing was based on this next scripture that comes along in this series, still in Leviticus 23, verse 9. Adonai said to Moshe, Tell the people of Israel, after you enter the land I'm giving you, harvest its ripe crops, you're to bring a sheaf of first fruits of your harvest to the Kohen, to the priest. He is to wave the sheaf before Adonai so that you will be accepted. The Kohen is to wave it on the day after the Shabbat. That's that first Shabbat that begins with the Pesach or the Passover. Now, they had to have this thing in place, this first fruit, to wave. So to ensure that the time of its ripening would be correct for the week of Matzah, the priests would plant a small crop of barley, the first grain to be harvested, in a bit of an indenture on the side of the Kidron Valley that runs east of the Temple Mount, that separates the Temple Mount from the Mount of Olives. And this place that they would plant it was called Gagot Sereen. They would nurture this little crop of barley. They would water it or not water it, depending on how fast they wanted it to grow, to bring its harvest time to the beginning of the week of unleavened bread. To the time they really wanted it to center on the special Shabbat, first special Shabbat of Matzah. As best we understand, based on information that we get from NASA, who have plotted this back by computer, this day, this afternoon that Yeshua was on the execution stake would have been a Wednesday. And I'm going to tell you that blows a lot of theologies. And I'm also going to warn you to be careful, because there are a lot of theologies on this online that totally disagree with each other as to when was what was going on and why, simply because as you'll see in a few minutes when we look at some of the things that are written in Mishnah, they're in an abbreviated form, because the people that read the Mishnah back in those days understood everything. Instead of writing it all out, they just gave you little shots as reminders to do that. And so today, as we're trying to interpret those, we come up with all kinds of different things. Be interesting to watch. On that same afternoon, as Yeshua is on the stake, and when he's on the stake, think about this, he is in the process of being harvested himself. He is in the process of being taken to God. He is the first fruits of the coming harvest. There would have been a delegation then come down from the temple, led by priests, who would have gone down into the Kidron Valley to this place of their small barley crop to prepare it for harvesting. This is while Yeshua is still on the execution stake. And it's just prior to Passover. The way that they would prepare the barley for harvest was to tie it into sheaves while it still had its roots in the ground. Think about that. They would tie it into sheaves while it still had its roots in the ground. While it was still living, they would tie it into sheaves. This taking place while Yeshua was bound on the execution stake, but still living. Parallel thing we need to note here. It's being laid out for us by Adonai. This barley was to be first taken of a harvest to come. Yeshua was the first taken of a harvest to come. Hasatan must have probably been cringing at the picture that Adonai was laying out before him. And think about it, only Adonai could consistently have put these things together this perfectly. The team of priests that tied off the sheaves but left them in the ground would then return to the temple prior to the time designated for the Passover. The sheaves bundled, but with their roots left in the ground, would stay in place. And this would have been at the time that Yeshua would have been wrapped in a cloth, taken down from the execution stake, wrapped in a cloth, bundled, if you would, and placed in the ground. With Pesach beginning, the time of the special Sabbath that began the week of Matzah, the priests in the temple would do nothing about their barley first fruits until the time of the special Sabbath was over. For the next 24 hours, they would do nothing until the special Sabbath passed. The sheaves of barley would have remained bundled with their roots still in the ground during this time. Great detail is given us in Mishnah, and I brought a copy of Mishnah along so you can all take a look at it if you would like. Mishnah gives us great details about what happened next, because great ceremony was involved in the harvest of the first fruits of this barley harvest to come. Beginning at sundown, at the end of that first day following Passover, at the end of the first special Sabbath that introduced the week of unleavened bread, the week of matzah, the villagers from all around the area would begin to gather where the barley was being grown at Gagot, Seraphine. And so this would end up with the first fruit being reaped with great pomp, because we would have all these people involved. Probably the high priest or his representative would be the ones who would reap the actual sheaths at this time. So I'm going to quote you from Mishnah, Menahot 10:3. And I've added some notes in here to help make this a little better to go. Once it gets dark on the night of the 16th of Nisan, he, the cutter, says to them, "Has the sun set?" They say, "Yes." "Has the sun set?" They say, "Yes." "With this sickle?" They say, "Yes." "With this sickle?" They say, "Yes." "With this basket?" They say, "Yes." "With this basket?" They say, "Yes." On the Sabbath. Now, remember that this first special Sabbath of the week of Matzah is just coming to an end as this is being done. It's the 16th of Nisan, which means there's a full moon in place. It's hard to get an exact time of total darkness on a bright full moon night. So they're covering themselves in case they should get started just a little early. It's okay to do it on this Shabbat, because we really didn't intend to. On the Sabbath, he says to them, "Shall I reap on this Sabbath?" And they say, "Yes." "Shall I reap on this Sabbath?" And they say, "Yes." "Shall I reap?" They say, "Yes." "Shall I reap?" They say, "Yes." Actually, he repeated those things actually three times, and they said yes, yes, yes to each and every time that he said this. This is a whole mob of people responding to the one who's going to do the cutting. So all of this is done with great pomp. But for what purpose? And Mishnah tells us, because of the Bethusians, for they maintain the reaping of the barley for the Omer is not done at the conclusion of the festival. See, this is the beginning of the festival. And they're doing it because of something that they have been taught that they're supposed to be doing. Actually, in Scripture, it lays out that this is what you're supposed to be doing. They reaped it. They put it in baskets. They brought it to the courts of the temple. And they parched it with fire so as to carry out the requirements that it be parched with fire. And that brings us to Leviticus chapter 2, verse 14, please. "If you bring a grain offering of first fruits to Adonai, you are to bring as the grain offering from your first fruits kernels of grain from fresh ears, dry roasted with fire. Put olive oil on it and lay frankincense on it. It is a grain offering." This is the first fruit of the coming barley harvest. It must be dry roasted with fire. Mishnah again gives us a lot of great detail as how this parching is done, and I'm not going to quote all of it again. I'm just going to run through what was done. The first thing they did was they would take this sheath that they brought up, and they would beat it. they would thresh it. They would get all of the grain off of it that was possible. And again, we see a picture of what was being done to Yeshua when he was on the execution stake. Matthew's gospel tells us how the Roman soldiers treated Yeshua as they mocked him. Give me Matthew 27, verse 30. They spit on him. They took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. They threshed him. They threshed him, just like the sheaf of barley was being treated. They beat it, this sheaf of barley. They threshed it. And then the heads of grain were put into a tube that was perforated so as it was laid in the fire would come in through all the perforations and would equally reach all of the heads of grain. And when it had been completed, they would spread the grain out in the court of the temple, and the breeze, the ruach, then would blow over this grain. Then the grain was put into a grist mill and put through 13 sieves, sifted into the finest flour possible. I want to pause just for a second here and consider that this finest flour possible is really representing Yeshua. He is the finest that is possible. The priests would mix this finest flour possible with oil, representative of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And from this mixture, an omer was taken and waved before God and offered up. Mishnah then tells us that the residue, what was left from getting to this omer that was waved, was eaten up by the priests. All of what was left was eaten by the priest. The finest flour mixed with oil. Now think about the finest flour mixed with oil, if you will. The finest flour mixed with oil is what is baked, or flour mixed with oil is what is baked into matzah. So did they make matzah? Did they take the finest flour mixed with oil and bake it into cakes with no leavening added? That could be a picture for us of the matzah that we looked at and pointed to and said, this represents Yeshua, our Messiah. This day of the waving of the Omer, after which the harvest that has been coming can be taken, initiates a count for us ordained by Adonai. Leviticus 23:15-16. From the day after the day of rest, that is, from the day you bring the sheaf for waving, you are to count off 7 full weeks. Now pay attention to that. From the day after the day of rest, that's a special Sabbath that began with the Passover. From the day you bring the sheaf for waving, that would be the day following that special Sabbath. You are to count off 7 full weeks until the day after the 7th week. You are to count 50 days, and then you are to present a new grain offering to Adonai. And you talk about 10,000 interpretations of what this all means. But we need to take note of something. This that it's talking about up here is a new harvest that this count of 50 days is pointing to. The count begins on the day that the omer of the first fruit of the harvest to come is being waved before Adonai, as per Adonai's instructions. We understand that this omer being waved, represents Yeshua as the first fruit of the harvest to come. Now, there's another picture laid out for us. If there is to be a coming harvest that is to be counted to, that is laying out a specific time that is to be given attention to concerning this coming harvest. We must understand that what is being shown us is the taking of an agricultural event, which is our picture here, and turning it into a spiritual event, taking it to a spiritual level. The day of the Omer starts to count. The Omer is the first fruit of the harvest to come. The Omer represents, I believe, Yeshua Messiah, and I'm also positive that the Jewish community at large doesn't make this link to Yeshua. But they do make a link between the Omer, the first fruit of the harvest to come, and the coming time of harvest Adonai's instructed that we are to make this count to. They also make the link that the count of this to this harvest, they also make the link that the count to this harvest is to start on the day of the waving of the Omer of the first fruit before Adonai. So this period of counting the 50 days has become known as the counting of the Omer. That's where we get that title. The counting of the time of the first fruit right up until the time of this coming harvest sets in. Again, we've got an agricultural event that's been laid out for us. Those of us who believe in Messiah Yeshua, we see as a coming major event in the spiritual realm what's being laid out for us. This has to do with the coming harvest of Yeshua's crop, the ones that he himself is being the first fruit for, the one that he himself is going to harvest himself. Even though, as we stand here today, this time of the end of the count is still 40 plus days away, we want to spend a little time this evening with Shavuot. Shavuot means 50 in the Hebrew. Pentecost in the Greek also means 50. Scripture gives us little bits and clues. I want us all to think about this and begin to look at other things in the same way. But Scripture often gives us bits of clues about coming major events well before they come into play. Such as Shavuot is one of these. Shavuot is about Adonai, Yeshua, harvesting his people to himself. And we have an immensely large preview picture of this in Adonai bringing his people, both Israel and the former pagan Gentiles, out of Egypt. He's actually harvesting them, taking them out of Egypt, and leading them to the promised land where he'll dwell with them. Again, that's a type of harvest that's going on. And we know that the one in the cloud that is leading them was Adonai in the form of a man. We know this because when the elders of Israel went up into the cloud, they saw his feet and they saw his hand. It was God in the form of a man. This harvest preview that's going on, Israel and the former pagan Gentiles being taken out of Egypt, taken out of an evil empire and moved to a promised land, stopped along the way at Horeb. Horeb is the mountain of God, very often translated wrongly as Mount Sinai, thanks to a certain king of the era who wanted to get rid of anything that was Jewish. Something took place at Mount Horeb that would take place again at Shavuot. There's going to be something takes place that will be repeated, but this time it's repeated. It will be on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Pick this up at Mount Horeb. Exodus 19, please. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning and a thick cloud on the mountain, and then a shofar blast sounded so loudly that all the people in the camp trembled. Moshe brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood near the base of the mountain. Mount Horeb was enveloped in smoke because Adonai descended onto it in fire. Adonai descended onto it in fire. We know that Adonai was in the form of a man, God in the form of a man in the cloud. Its smoke went up like the smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain shook violently. Note, this is Adonai in the form of a man, I'm harping on this, descending on the mountain of God, Mount Horeb, in fire. Picture, the picture it is showing us is of the coming Yeshua descending to his people. And that's a preview picture for us. Because look at what happens as the people are gathered at the Temple Mount at the conclusion of the counting of the Omer. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. The festival of Shavuot arrived, and the believers all gathered together in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from the sky like the roar of a violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then, watch this, then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which separated and came to rest on each of them. And they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to talk in different languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Here are those who have been counting the Omer. They've arrived at the 50th day and they've assembled themselves on Adonai's mountain, this time the Temple Mount. And what happens? Fire descends on Adonai's mountain. Very specific fire reserved for those who are believers, those who are to be part of the coming harvest. Tongues of fire which come to rest on them, representing the Ruach HaKodesh. When was the previous time that fire came down on Adonai's mountain? It was when Torah, Adonai's instructions, were given at Mount Horeb. And who was present then? Adonai in the form of a man, the one who became the first fruits of the harvest to come. And this gives us a little something extra to chew on as we move through these days of the counting of the Omer towards Shavuot. So we're to count the Omer. That's an instruction for us. Each day we're to count the Omer. We've just passed at sundown in total darkness into a new day, so let us count the Omer. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech ha'olam, asher kitchanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al safarat ha'omer. In English that says, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us concerning the counting of the Omer. Today is 6 days of the Omer. When the day of unleavened bread is completed in the 24 hours, then we will reach the 7th day of the counting of the Omer. And everything that's based on 7 becomes interesting. Hopefully, what we've looked at this evening, really, and what we looked at yesterday, has given us some information to stir up our thinking. Stir up our thinking about this time that we're in, this week of Matzah. The things that Adonai Elohim would have us focus on during this week of Matzah. Focus on each week of unleavened bread every year when it comes around. Go well beyond just the Seder. Please go well beyond just the Seder, which frankly is largely tradition. It can be a great teaching tool, but we need to focus on things besides the Seder, and that we really don't like matzah. Don't want to eat the matzah. These are two things that are really placed most highly on most minds and where most minds are focused during this period of time. We're not looking at all the other stuff that God has laid out here for us as to what we should be doing, such as being gathered together to Him on this day. So we really need to get into, I mean really into, the harvest of the first fruits of the coming harvest. We really need to get into the harvest of the first fruits of the coming harvest. We need to focus on what the Omer is picturing for us. We really need to focus on that. And I'm going to tell you, we need to be extremely careful. There are so many interpretations in play. The internet can be a theological trap if we're not careful. Anything you see on the internet, take it to Scripture. take it to Scripture and really root it out, and you'll find so much of it is comfy theology. If something isn't computing for you and you can't ever come to an answer, bring it to myself or bring it to Rabbi Scott. Our purpose in being here is to assist you in doing these things. Adonai, Yeshua, has promised us a harvest to himself. It's coming. It's coming. I believe that more details are going to be made available to us as we continue to search Scripture, and they will become clearer as we continue to search Scripture. Adonai makes it possible for us to understand all this. So, let's close this evening by celebrating Adonai, who will bring us this harvest. Chag Sameach, everybody.